Chapter 76. He dreams, and he is Saharan again. A soft whisper, and he turns, and the fog comes in. And he knows. He knows he's going to lose someone. Any number of them. It won't be him, because you can't dream a death that hasn't already happened. And he can't dream a memory of himself dying. It doesn't work that way. He doesn't work that way. He dreams, and then he is Orle, and he is standing there as the waves crash onto the shore, and he sees them, his chargers, his guys. He sees them far away on the distant bluff, and he hears the roar of oceans and rocks and blood in his own damn ears. Gat says, "Let it happen." Anan Asam Kyun. Bull knows, but his fingers curl around the horn, paralyzed. He would have let them die. He would have let them go.
"This,"
a voice, her voice, says,
"is not you. You are not this."
He turns, and he is nowhere. He is naked, and she is naked. They sit cross-legged in front of each other, laid bare, bones and skin, self unfolded. It says something about him that his first instinct is to cover her, to find something to wrap around her shoulders, to hide her. "Not safe for you, little Sarabas," he thinks. "Gotta keep you safe." And a soft, brown-red-orange pelt drifts around her shoulders, tucked around her with his hands that move on their own. "Keep the little boss safe." Brave little Sarabas looks up at him, and doesn't smile so much as she tilts her head. She points behind him, to Saharan, to the coast.
"You didn't do that. That is not you."
"It is me," Bull says, holding his arms open, bare skin and scars and pains. "This is me."
"No,"
she says, and leans forward, puts her palm against his chest.
"This is you."
"Yeah, and I did that shit. I'm Hisrod. I'm the liar," Bull says, and the word title self feels bad to say, awkward like a mouthful of bone. She shakes her head.
"No, no."
"Yes," Bull says, "yes."
"No,"
she points behind him again.
"That is him."
She touches his chest.
"This is you."
She turns her head and points, an empty cage to the side.
"That is Hisrod," she says.
"There's nothing there, boss."
"No,"
she says, pointing.
"That is Hisrod."
"There's nothing there," Bull says, tired and angry and feeling every bit his age. "There's nothing fucking there. It's just a damned cage." "Because I am out here. Because Hisrod is out here."
"It's just a cage,"
she repeats, looking back to him, still pointing.
"That is Hisrod. Just a cage."
Bull looks into her dream eyes, and he wonders what it says about himself, that when he dreams of her. And she says things like this, and she says these fucking strange and amazingly deep things that cut straight to his marrow. "I am Hisrod," Bull whispers, shoulders slumping. She is quiet before her palm rests on his head, a slight pressure between his horns.
"Hisrod is you, but you are not Hisrod," she says. "The Inquisitor is me. I am not the Inquisitor. It's just a cage, the Iron Bull. It's all just a cage. The you of yesterday is not the you of today. The you of yesterday is dead. The me of yesterday is dead. I am a stranger from myself a year ago. I meet her on the road and I say, 'Who are you?' And she says, 'Who are you?' The you of 2, 10 years ago meets you at a crossroads and says, 'Who are you? What is your name?' And you ask, 'Who are you? Who's asking?' And the you who did those things is dead, gone, another name, another person. You make yourself when the sun rises. That is you. That is you right now. As the sun rises and the sun sets, you are new again. Hisrod is dead. Hisrod is gone. Unless you make him new again.
Bull feels himself waking up. He will remember this dream. All the Ben Hasroth are trained to remember and control their dreams. Bull wonders what part of him was controlling this dream. It doesn't feel like anything in this dream was under his control. Then again, his boss never is under anyone's control.
You are the Iron Bull, she says,
as he feels himself losing the dream.
You are today.
This is my mother, Llewellyn says, pointing to her chin. And this is my father, she points to her cheek. This is my mother's mother, she points to her thumbnail. And this is my mother's father, she points to her pinky. And this is my father's mother, she pulls at her hair. And this is my father's father, she touches her upper lip.
This is how I know them. This is how they're always with me.
There is something melancholy and a touch warm about the way she says that. Earnest and simple. So very honest and matter-of-fact. This and this and this, she points. Then she points at him. And this, she says, pointing at his eyebrows, is my mother's mother's father's. Like his. Maybe our clans exchanged? Solas would not be surprised if it turned out she actually was related to him. He has lived a long time, fathered many. One of those children of Arlathon must have survived. One of them must have continued. Lived. Perhaps, he replies. She continues, pulling up her sleeve and pointing at marks.
This is one of the sisters.
She touches a fading scar, small and flat and pale.
This is the brother of a brother of a father.
She rotates her wrist to point at a thin line over the bone.
This is an elder's wife.
She touches the holes in her ears.
This is Dorian.
She puts her hand on her side where he cauterized her wound with magic. Solas blinks as she slowly moves away from her clan, her blood, to them.
This is Bull.
She shows her palms with the calluses and new healing old blisters.
This one is Krem.
She points at one callus in particular.
And this is Sarah.
She points at her fingertips.
This is Vivian.
She points to the blisters on her feet.
This is Varric.
She bends the tip of her ear to show a faint mark from when one of Varric's bolts was knocked off course and nicked her ear.
This is Cole.
She touches her upper arm where she and Cole collided during a fight, and she cut herself open on one of his daggers by accident. She goes on, pointing at the place on her body where people have left marks, permanent and not. And Solas almost reaches out and touches the anchor, tells her. And this is me, he thinks, as he imagines touching his fingertips to the green line. This is me. Permanent. Like her chin and her thumb, her cheek and her upper lip. More than his eyebrows, which may or may not belong to her also. This
is him.
And this is you, she says, pointing at the mark, and he startles. Eyes raised to her, wide. When did she know? Heart in his throat, he croaks. What? She blinks, frowns, midway to pointing to something else.
When you saved my life, she says. You watched over me while I slept and made sure it didn't kill me.
She points to the anchor again.
So this is you. You saved my life, Haren, and whenever I look at the mark, I remember. It's you. It's me.
Ah. Solas doesn't know if he's disappointed or not. I see.
Every time I think I love you enough already, you go and do something like this, and I realize I can, I really can love you more. My chest will probably explode at this rate. It will be absolutely terrifying and messy and painful, Dorian says, leaning on her shoulder, kissing her temple as he sighs, watching the chaos in the training yard below them.
Your chest won't explode from your heart growing, Dorian,
Llewellyn replies, arm around his waist.
That's ridiculous.
Maybe I'll be the first. The Inquisition tends to be good at setting records like that. Dorian settles his arm around her shoulder and squeezes her close. Best name day present ever, from the best friend I could ever have.
Wait until you see the cake, she laughs. Also, I think Vivian got you something, but I'm scared for you, because I don't know why she'd do that.
Probably to retaliate for the scarf I got her, Dorian replies. It was dreadful, and should she ever wear it, it will most likely cause people to avert their eyes and weep.
Then why'd you get it?
To see the look on her face when she opened it, Dorian replies. Of course.
Of course, Llewellyn snorts. Now I'm very worried.
In this game of escalating insults to taste and common sense, I am winning, Dorian replies. I refuse to lose to her.
If you say so,
Llewellyn hums, leaning a little over the wall.
Do you think Cullen is going to be very mad at me for this?
It's my birthday. He'll let it slide. They both wince when there's a loud crash and a series of yells and yelps. Probably. Besides, what's he going to do? Yell at you for making a giant puddle? He thinks half these people are idiots anyway. It's good training for them. I am seriously concerned for the state of your army if they can't walk through ankle-deep water.